Jesus came to this earth to give us hope. Amen? And we, you know, in a year or in a season maybe where darkness sometimes feels more overwhelming than the light, perhaps the greatest gift that we can give people and the greatest gift that we can receive at Christmas is hope. We need to be hope dealers. All right? And so I want to read to you a couple scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10 says, "Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let's read this part together. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." So we need to hold on to hope. And we have that hope, again, because of what Jesus has done for us. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And so there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible about hope and how we have a hope that is unshakable, that we have a hope that is in Christ. We can hope in a lot of things that aren't trustworthy, but when we put our hope in God, we know because of His faithfulness that He will come through. Amen? Do you believe me? Okay. People who have had a tough time in their life are afraid to hope, because they're afraid of disappointment. I don't know if you've ever felt that, but sometimes you've been let down, and it's hard to actually have hope because you feel like, I'm gonna hope and then I'm gonna be disappointed. I'm gonna get excited, I'm gonna hope that maybe there's a chance that this will change, and then we feel let down. And so it's amazing how big or how good Goliath can look when we lose hope. And the giants that are in our lives, the things that we face, when we have no hope, it looks impossible. Everywhere we turn, makes us feel like it's just an uphill climbing a mountain, and everything feels overwhelming. Anybody ever felt like that? And so the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He wants you to not have happiness or hope or joy. He wants to steal the joy of the present and the hope that you have for the future. But you know, when God came into this world, He chose a virgin who wasn't yet married, and He didn't even bother booking a hotel room for her when she was 9 months pregnant, to bring us hope in the birth of Jesus. When Israel came to the Red Sea, instead of God taking people around, He took them through it. God couldn't use a soldier with an arrow from a long distance with Goliath, but He sent, because people would never know that it was God, but He sent a young boy with a slingshot and a rock. When Gideon had 32,000 men to face this massive army, He cut it down to 300. God doesn't always do things the easy way, but He trims and He prunes to see what the root system of our heart is. He wants to see what we're made of, what's in here. Isaiah 11:1 talks about there being a shoot coming up from the stump of Jesse. You know, as long as there is a seed that's planted, there is hope for that root system to take root and to be connected to the branch, Jesus. And we have hope in Him that He will lead us through no matter what we're facing. It might not be the easy way, but we can hold on to His promises. Amen? Jesus is our hope. The Bible talks about hope in Hebrews 6:19 as it being an anchor to our soul. It's one of those things that we can hold on to. I like the way the Message puts it, so I'm going to read it. It says, "We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up His permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek." We got to hold on to hope with both hands. Hold on to the hope that He has given us. And if we don't stay anchored in hope, we begin to get anchored in other things. You start to let your life be anchored in bitterness and anger and fear and doubt and worry. And staying anchored in those things will keep you from the destiny and the life that God has for you. If David had looked at Goliath and said, that's too hard, he's too big, he's too scary, we wouldn't be talking about him today. But he had his hope anchored in God, and he knew who God was, and so he wasn't afraid. An anchor holds a boat in place, and the wind might blow it and move it a little bit back and forth, but the captain doesn't worry because the anchor's down. An anchor helps you in the middle of a storm to actually stay more in control, more planted. You don't get tossed around as much. And it's the same thing when our anchor, when our hope is in the Lord, when our hope is in his promises and in his word and the faithfulness of God, then this, you know, we still will face storms in this life, but we don't get tossed the same. We stay rooted in him. We can hold on to having hope of a future. And, you know, our whatever dreams we may have, they might look impossible today, but if we can hold on to hope and hold on to him, he'll carry us through. Amen? Deep down, we need to know that God can open a door that no man can shut, that he can make a way where there seems to be no way. Sometimes we think of hope as like wishful thinking. You know, and it's more than that. It's more than just optimism. The Bible says that these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. We often, we think a lot about faith, we think a lot about love, but we don't understand the power, the importance of having hope in our hearts for what Jesus is going to do, for what he can do, what he will do, because of being a child of God. I can hope that when I plant a seed in the garden in the spring, that I'll get to eat something later. Right? That there's an element of hope there, but it's not a guarantee because there's things that can happen out of my control. But I can also hope in the word of God that is his promises are always yes and amen. And I can have a confidence in knowing that if Jesus said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And so I want to put my hope in that. I want to put my hope in things that are solid and trustworthy and that won't be shaken. Faith and hope go together. You can't have faith without having hope. If there's nothing to hope for, there's nothing to believe for. If you don't have the hope of heaven, you don't need to believe in heaven. God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham had to wait patiently. And that's never fun. Abraham had to wait until he was 99 years old to see that child. And many of us in our culture are so used to being like, God, if I don't see this tomorrow, I must have misunderstood you, or I must have missed it. And we want to give up because we expect right now everything to happen. We have to trust his faithfulness. Amen? I heard a story or a message recently by Jennison Franklin on the Christmas story, but about pain in the midst of it. And it just kind of stuck with me. It struck a chord with me because of, I feel like a lot of the just stuff, comments I've heard people making lately about feeling discouraged or disappointed about different things or loss and it just, the way he talked about this message, it stuck with me. And he talked about the story of Rachel. And there's a scripture in Matthew chapter 2. You can turn there if you want. And it's the story as the wise men come to Herod. And they say, where is the king? We've seen the star. Where is the king of the Jews? And of course, Herod is very insecure and not excited about someone else coming as a leader, right? And he orders all the young boys to be killed. And then you hear this verse, there's this phrase that you see a few times in the Bible. A sound was heard in Ramah, where weeping and much lament. Rachel weeping for her children, Rachel refusing all solace. Her children gone, dead and buried. And you think, well, why is that even in the Christmas story? It doesn't seem to fit. And yet, you know, the Christmas story deals with pain and struggle and hardship in the midst of joy and God moving and there being hope. And so there's three times this line or this phrase is used in the Bible. You can read about it in Genesis 35, Rachel is traveling. She's pregnant with Benjamin. And tragically, she goes into labor. She's at a place called Ramah, where it talks about here, and it's about 5-ish miles out of Jerusalem. And back then, you didn't have an ambulance. You didn't have a hospital or medical staff readily available. And when things went wrong, they went wrong. And so they're on this journey, traveling on a dirty road. She goes into labor, and the Bible says it's hard labor. Obviously, something went wrong, and she dies giving birth to this boy. And so there's this cry, there's this sound that goes out. You can imagine the horror and the like, as a parent, I can't even imagine that, you know. And yet there's this suffering that we see that Rachel goes through. And today in Israel, it's a major place you can actually, people still go and visit Rachel's tomb. And it's this place of remembrance where a family was ripped apart. And fast forward several years, and you get to King Nebuchadnezzar, 586 BC. Nebuchadnezzar attacks Jerusalem, and you can read about it in 2 Kings 24. And he burns the city, and he destroys a lot of the city in Jerusalem. And much like what we recently saw a month ago or so in Gaza, where they came and they stole, they took people. They killed people, they butchered them, and they took them. Here, it's even crazier. King Nebuchadnezzar ordered 10,000 Jews to be taken. And so what he did is he said, take the best ones. Take the best looking, the most talented, the most gifted. I want to build my kingdom on them. So he stole the 10,000 best, brightest young people from Jerusalem, or from the Jews. You can imagine the impact that would have on a nation. And the Bible says that the scholars say it was actually, they were held at Ramah, the same place. And so when you read in Jeremiah 31, it's written about this scene. And it says in Jeremiah 31:15, thus says the Lord, again, here's this phrase, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. And then Jeremiah, though, begins to give this picture of hope. And again, it's a prophetic word that the Bible, they say, is finally fulfilled in Matthew. And so you read about, again, same phrase in Matthew, where all these young people, again, are killed. And yet there's hope. And it says, thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping, your eyes from tears, for the work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. And, you know, we can get focused on loss, we can get focused on the pain, but I want to encourage you that Jesus says there's hope for you and for your future and for your children. And I really believe that today there's still an enemy that is trying to take the kids, trying to take the next generation. Nebuchadnezzar basically stole a generation from Israel. He took the 10,000 best. And today the enemy sees the potential in your kids and in your grandkids, and he wants to destroy them too. He wants to take them. He wants to pull them. He wants to bring division. He wants to lure them into other things other than the Lord. And there's a battle that's going on over your family. And many times we see struggles, we see pain and frustration over our kids or our grandkids because we expect this to happen, we dream for this for them, and yet they go this way. Sometimes it's in our own lives. We think, how did this happen? How did this happen in my marriage? How did this happen with my child? But Jeremiah says there's hope in your future. Do you believe there can be hope in your future today? You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and that's why Jesus had to come, because God is a spirit, and spirits couldn't come legally and take dominion. So Jesus wrapped himself in flesh. He came in a barnyard in Bethlehem, and he said, now I'm here legally. I've got blood and Satan doesn't have any. I've got a body and Satan doesn't have any. And so by giving my blood and my body, I will conquer the enemy. I'll conquer death. I'll conquer sickness and disease and sin on the cross. We forget sometimes that we have hope in the one who has power over every demonic force, who has power over every sickness, who has power over every heart. Amen? We can try to figure it out sometimes. We can try and understand everything. And it comes down to this. You know, when the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a child and it's going to be the Savior of the world. And she said, how can this be? And the angel said, by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we can look at the mountains that we're facing and the giants and the things that are not going the way that we expected and think, how is any of this possible? Well, it's by the Holy Spirit. It's by our connection to Him, by staying, holding on, being anchored in the hope and the promises that God has for us. It's not by might. not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I can't speak for my mom, but I can imagine the pain that she felt when I was not serving the Lord, when I was doing my own thing. But I'm also thankful for a mom who stood in prayer and cried out to God for my behalf. And some of you might say, look, I look at the path of my life or my kids' lives, and I don't like what I'm seeing, or I'm disappointed with where they're at. And I really believe that. I just want to encourage you and challenge you. Pray. Trust in God. Put your anchor, put your hope in Him. Amen? Keep crying out. Keep, you know, get a little bit of that, you know, wives, you get that attitude with your husband sometimes because, you know, things aren't being done the way you want. Yeah, I know. Shh. But, you know, you get a little bit of going on, and you need that in the spirit. It's time to stand up and say enough's enough, and to pray, and to cry out to God, and to pray for that breakthrough in your family this year. Don't lose hope. God is able. There is hope in your future, says the Lord. I came back. If I can come back, anybody can come back. That's cool. I didn't know that. So, this is what God put on my heart this week. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know the scenario. I don't know, maybe even you're listening online and you're like, hey, I just challenge you. I encourage you, pray. Let hope arise in you, because I really believe that God wants to turn some things around that you felt stuck in, that, you know, and you might be saying, well, I didn't expect this for my marriage. I didn't expect this for my kids or my grandkids. How does this happen? I didn't expect that diagnosis or whatever it might be. Hold on to hope. God has not given up on you. And yes, there is pain and there's sorrow and there's challenges that we walk through in this world, in this life. But Jesus came to give us a hope for a future. And it's not, you're not stuck where you are forever. I'm going to end with this thought. There's a story of Naaman. You've probably heard the story before. He's a powerful leader. He had everything going on, except he had a problem. He got diagnosed with leprosy. And leprosy was a massive problem back then. If you got leprosy, like, it literally, body parts would fall off of you eventually. It was terrible. It was a gross, terrible disease. And what happened was you got basically excommunicated or shut out from society. You couldn't be near people because they didn't want what you had. And so Naaman, I'm gonna condense the story here, but Naaman finds out that there is possibly someone that can heal in Israel. And so he sends word and he shows up at Elijah's house. All right. And especially I'm just thinking of the context, you know, their culture, and even just thinking about the African culture I was just in, where they went like over the top for honor and respect and all this stuff. And Naaman shows up and Elijah doesn't even come out to greet him. But he sends a message to him and says, go dip in the river 7 times and you'll be healed. You know, Naaman is now angry. And he's thinking, you can read it here. He says, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River and your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. Naaman became angry and stalked away. And listen to this really carefully. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me, he said. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call in the name of the Lord his God and heal me. And so here Naaman thought and expected God to move in a certain way. And he had his outer sickness that he wanted to see healed. And now not only he has an outside problem, but he's got an inside problem. Nobody even did anything to him, but he's angry. And I just want to challenge you, a lot of our disappointments in Christ come because our thoughts don't line up with God's thoughts. Our thoughts don't line up with His thoughts, and that's where we get into a lot of trouble. I thought I'd be married by now. I thought I'd be a millionaire. I thought so-and-so would have apologized by now. I thought this would have happened. I thought that would have happened. Our thoughts can cause us to lose hope. And thank God in Naaman's case for having someone that went to him and said, hey, you know, if the prophet had asked you to do something hard, you would have done it. What's the big deal about going and dunking in the river 7 times? And so then he goes and does it. And you can imagine in Naaman's case thinking, this is ridiculous. And it even says, like, the Jordan River, we have cleaner water at home. So he's annoyed he's got to go dip in dirty water. He's annoyed that he's got to do it 7 times. And you can imagine him thinking after the first time, this is dumb. Why would I do this? The second and third and fourth time, this is ridiculous. No one else has to do this. Why? This is overkill. Like, why? But thankfully, he went to the 7th time. I don't know how many times maybe that God has called us to pray or to stand in the gap or to intercede, and maybe sometimes we give up after the first, the second, the third, the 5th time. We lose hope. God, I prayed that prayer once, a year or two, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I still haven't seen that person change. I've given up hope on believing that you can reach them. I've given up hope that you could change that situation. You know, in Matthew chapter 2, in the Christmas story, we have this, the babies, the young boys being killed, but then the next, at the start of Matthew chapter 3, you see John the Baptist on the scene, and he comes and he preaches, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I want to encourage you that the kingdom of God is here, that Jesus has come, that he has paid a way and paid a price. And, you know, he has made a way for us to be able to come to Jesus, to come and to know his goodness and his faithfulness, to see breakthrough in our lives because of who he is. Many times in the Christmas story, you see this, it says, and suddenly, and suddenly the angels showed up with the shepherds, and suddenly, and many times it feels like God takes a million years to move, but then and suddenly he does. And then suddenly he can answer your prayer today. And you might feel like I've prayed this prayer before, and I've gone after this before. And suddenly Jesus can move in your life today. Isaiah 43:18 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. How many would like to see a new thing in your life? A new season? How many have situations, whether it's with family or with friends, where you just need breakthrough, where you've felt there's things that are stuck, where they're not in a healthy direction? I just want to open this up this morning to take some time to pray. And I know it's Christmas, but I believe in altar calls. And I believe in just responding. I can stand here and say nice things, but I can't change anything. But God can. And I would just like to open it up this morning to take a few minutes, if that's you, and just believe and stir up hope and faith again. Remember, hope and faith are tied together. But if you can have hope, then you can believe. And if you can believe that the Holy Spirit can change a heart of a child, like what happened to me, my mom could have preached at me and yelled at me or said whatever she wanted to me for a long time, but my heart would have never changed until the Holy Spirit started doing something in here. And maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kids or grandkids, maybe it's people you work with, maybe it's your family and friends that you care about, that just nothing ever seems to change. I just encourage you to have hope again. One touch, one and suddenly, and everything can change for them. And many times, God wants to partner with us. And it's not always the way that we think, right? It's not always our thoughts or expectations. I thought, God, you'd do this. I expected you, God, to do that. Don't get into trouble like Naaman did. But in faith and in hope, pray and trust and believe. Keep trusting God. Amen? So let me close in prayer. And if you would like prayer, I want to be able to pray with you. And I just encourage you, take this time to come and just find a place you can kneel, you can stand, and just begin to call on God. Begin to trust him. And maybe you can recognize in your own life and in your own heart, you've basically put an anchor down in other things besides God's faithfulness, besides his word. You've started to put your anchor down in fear, You've put your anchor down in doubt. You've allowed yourself to be chained to those things. Instead of, Lord, I'm going to put my hope in you. I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to believe in what you're doing. And God, your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and your ways are higher than my ways. So Lord, may your will be done. May your kingdom come. May your will be done in my life. Not the way I expect, not the way that I think, God, but your way. Because your way is better. So Jesus, we just submit to you our circumstances, our situations, God, that are difficult, that are hard, that are maybe not at all what we dreamed of or thought or expected. But Lord, we look to you with hope today. Jesus, you came to deliver a message of hope. Hope and good news, the gospel, hope of salvation, hope of freedom, hope of freedom from guilt and shame and condemnation, hope of healing, hope of, Lord, of knowing you and walking with you and having eternal life with you. And Lord, we don't want to carry a weight or a burden that we were not designed to carry any longer. And so, Jesus, we want to come and lay these things at your feet. And God, I'm asking for your peace that surpasses all understanding to flood our hearts and our minds today. As we just lay these burdens down. God, many of us carry burdens for loved ones and friends and family that don't know you. We carry burdens because of the situations that we're stuck in or facing or the things that have surprised us that we're just walking in that we don't want to. God, I just pray that we would have the freedom to let go, to trust you so that we can walk in peace. And I pray that this next year would be a year of breakthrough. Jesus, I pray for a year of encounters with you. I pray, Jesus, for a year where our friends and our families and our loved ones come to know you personally. And I pray, Jesus, for a year where bondage is broken in our families. Jesus, where addictions are broken. In Jesus' name. And I pray for life and hope and joy and peace to rise up in us. God, where there's been hopelessness, where there's been fear and doubt, I just break that in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, for some suddenlies in our lives, even over the Christmas break, God, as we gather with family and loved ones. I pray for suddenlies. I pray for moments, Jesus, where you break in and break through. I pray for hearts to change. And God, just like the scripture with calling our kids back, Lord, we pray for kids and grandkids who have walked away, who don't know you. I pray for their salvation. I pray for their hearts to know you. God, I'm thankful that no matter how hard and how broken a heart can be, Jesus, you can reach them. Jesus, you can change them. And so, God, when things look hopeless, Lord, we don't fix our eyes on that. We fix our eyes on you today. Where nothing is impossible for you. And we trust you. And God, help us to obey, even when it seems ridiculous or crazy, like dipping in a dirty river 7 times. Help us not to give up on the 3rd or the 5th or the 6th time. But help us to press in, to trust in you. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Holy Spirit. So God, we surrender. We repent of anything we hold on to. We ask for breakthrough. I'm just gonna invite you, if that's you, would you come? I wanna make room for the Lord, and I just feel like it's an act of faith to respond to him, and to come and to stand here or kneel or lie down, whatever you wanna do, but just take some time to seek him on your own, to press in and to pray and ask God for direction. Ask him for your family. Ask him for hope and ask him for change, that you're not stuck any longer. I think there's areas, if we're honest, that we all are stuck in. We need to move. We need to get going forward. That we need to step into faith. So I just want to open this up. Guys, come if you want to. Begin to pray. Begin to trust him. Begin to call out to him. We're just going to play and maybe sing something in the background.